Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Yeah,
Chris McMichael,
I'm back. On the Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday morning, taking your calls at 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side, and we got you till 5 o'clock when the warm-up show comes your way. Still fighting it a little bit, but I'll be okay. Still coming to terms with what's going on with our football teams. We're going to get a lot to the baseball later in the show as we are down to the final six, the last week of the season. The Mets on the outside, looking in, wondering what Cincinnati is going to do, because that will dictate their playoff chances as much as what they do against the Chicago Cubs. The Yankees looking to solidify that final wild, that top wild card spot, still with a prayer of winning the division. But we are still on trying to figure out how to fix these franchises and what's best with these two lousy football teams that are now 0-3 each, respectively. One worse than the other. I was just watching SNY, that's why I said that, because they're like, who's 0-3 is worse? I mean, that's where we are. Whose disaster of a season is most disastrous? I don't know. I guess the Giants would have to be more disastrous, right? It's a new regime with the Jets. We're just learning about Glenn. I haven't loved what I've seen, but it is three games, and we could yell about his clapping. Ultimately, we're just getting underway with the regime of Aaron Glenn. And by no means are we making any declarative statements just yet. With the New York Giants, this is year four of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, and we have tons of evidence. And if we don't have evidence, we'll make it up in Indianapolis if we have to. And we'll get to Daniel Jones a little bit, because I am tired of the narrative of Daniel Jones. Not because I've never thought Daniel Jones was a great quarterback, not because I'm not impressed with what he's doing, but because we're just making stuff up. Even in the clip right there from Slayton, I don't think Daniel Jones ever was given a chance. He played 6 years here. He got a second contract. He was making $40 million a year. Oh, he never really got a chance. Never got a chance. Okay. But we'll do that later. Let's talk about the current quarterback situation, because it's all the rave. What should the Giants do? And I understand, and I've been thinking about this a lot, because even me, the fan in me, without thinking too much about it, without really getting too deep into it, just on the surface of what I want as a fan, and clearly what Giant fans want out at MetLife Stadium already. Week number three, understanding the season is over and how bad they are after that loss to the Cowboys, as they were losing to the Kansas City Chiefs that everybody knew they would, the boos already, the toxic environment that the fan base has now created in that building. And I understand why. I mean, hell, last year they won one game there, and we were pissed that they won it. That's how bad it's been. That's how ugly it's been. And so when you have the shiny new toy and the promise of a rookie quarterback, well, what the hell are we waiting for? And even I, as a fan, fall into that trap on some level. And if it happens, and if you haven't heard, as we've talked about all day here on The Fan, and you just heard in the clip there at the update, Brian Daboll's noncommittal about who his quarterback's going to be. Same thing happened at the end of week number one. After week number one, he was noncommittal after the game, but then Monday, committed to Russell Wilson. Today was Monday, or yesterday was. He did not commit to Russell Wilson. And it's leaving speculation, and what most people think is that the Giants are preparing to make the shift and go to Jackson Dart for this game against the Chargers. Especially in a building, as I just said, had a feel of a little bit of a toxic fan base that's fed up. And if we're going to lose anyway, which everyone expects them to, and who wouldn't? Against the San Diego, happens every once in a while, against this Los Angeles Chargers team that has played extremely well in the first 3 weeks, that has won three consecutive divisional games, that defense is one of the best in the league, and they're led by one of the great coaches in this league, would have looked nice in a Jet or Giant sideline. But unfortunately, that didn't happen, and now he's with the Chargers. And you have every expectation of this him taking the Chargers where they want to go, and this is a dangerous team, and they're playing extremely well, and they're coming off three straight divisional wins before they come in to kick the tail of the New York Giants. So obviously, if you're going to lose that game anyway, well, then what are we doing? Why throw Russell Wilson out there? Why have an atmosphere in a building and a fan base that's fed up and booing everything? And then we'll throw Jackson Dart out there just to run some RPOs, and he'll get cheered and then booed as Russ comes back on. It's become a toxic environment, and rightfully so, because they are toxic. This franchise, this organization is toxic. And the fan base, this is why I get on the Yankee fans sometimes, because sometimes Yankee fans act like they're Giant fans. Like it's the same thing. Like there should be the same level of hate of the organization and the GM and the coach as there is for this Giants team. I don't get it with the Yankee fans. I understand it. My Giant fan hat, I understand it. And so I'm thinking about it, and I wake up to the news as I, you know, take my slumber in the afternoon, and I wake up, and I see the press conference, and I see his decision to be noncommittal, and I understand the speculation around it, and a part of me goes, yeah, why not? Why not? What are we doing? Let's just see. We're going to lose games anyway. Let's just see the quarterback. Let's let him play. But the more I think about it, I don't think it's a good idea. The more I think about it, I don't like the reasoning behind it. And I know that it's hard to trust Brian Daboll and Joe Shane in anything right now and in any decision. And I can tell you till we're blue in the face how he helped develop Josh Allen. I know I say it a lot and you all get mad at it. I can tell you till we're blue in the face that he did take Daniel Jones to the playoffs and win a road playoff game, turned Tommy DeVito into a name we knew, and he went out and beat a Green Bay Packers team in prime time. I can tell you all that, and how I can tell you, I still, at the only thing that I'm even remotely interested in listening to anybody tell me that Brian Daboll does well, is I'd still listen to the idea that he develops quarterbacks, or at least is good with quarterbacks. Not a quarterback whisperer. Not the only or greatest man for the job to develop a young quarterback. But everything else sucks. I'm still, at least this much part of me, thinks he could develop a young quarterback. They were kept. It's his decision and the GM's decision to draft Jackson Dart. He's their guy. And yes, the obvious elephant in the room is how well this quarterback plays is going to probably play a role. We'll see how much of a role, depending on how many games they win, but play a role in whether or not he's back as the Giants head coach. So obviously this is the decision that not only involves the team, not only involves the coach's future and the GM's future, involves the team's future, and involves whether or not we're talking about Jackson Dart as the future of the Giants with a possible regime change, with a possible coach change. This is a pivotal moment for the franchise. When they decide to go to Jackson Dart, it's a big decision for the entire franchise, not just the coach, but the New York Giants. And I don't want that decision made simply because we don't want a toxic atmosphere at the stadium. We don't want Russell Wilson booed. We have nothing else to do. I'm trying to keep my job. I have to show this kid now. Like, all the reasons that people will tell you it's obvious and it has to be done aren't the reasons that they should make this decision. This decision should be based solely on whether or not it's best for Jackson Dart's development, which is the only thing that matters for the future of this franchise. That's it. And when I look at it and I say to myself, do I think, off of these three games, in this building that it felt like they haven't won a meaningful game in 3 years, against a team and a defense that is as ferocious as any in the league at the moment, do I want to throw Jackson Dart into that spot right now? Is there a better spot? Even next week, right? Oh, the Saints. Well, you go play them in New Orleans. That makes a lot of sense. Indoor track against a lousy team. You do that. 4 days later, you're playing the Eagles. Is that a spot we want to put this kid in? Like, I don't know when the best, I'll be the first to raise my hand. I don't know. And if he comes in and plays well and wins the game and beats the Chargers, then obviously it's the greatest thing ever. And away we go as New York Giant fans, and we'll take anything. Let's be honest. The minute they make this move, I do think the toxicity inside the fan base in the building shifts. It might still be on Brian Daboll. It clearly will be. It might still be on Joe Shane. It clearly will be. And it still will be on John Mara. But as far as the losing, we'll all understand. Because we expect to lose with rookie quarterbacks. We did it with Eli Manning, and that team had a chance. That team was 5-4. That team had shown some moxie early on in the season. This team has shown you nothing. So it feels like an easy transition. And a part of me understands that, and a part of me won't mind if it happens, but all I care about is what's best for this kid. And there was a plan for him for a reason. There was a plan for him for a reason. And you hear the teammates talk about it, and you hear whether I think some of the statements from some of the teammates, like Slater, are a little misguided. Slayton, rather. But we have seen quarterbacks step in here. We've seen it with Daniel Jones. We've seen it with other guys. You step in too soon against good defense, because quickly, the other thing about this fan base that I do agree that we understand losing, but here's the issue. No one has faith in anything Shane and Daboll have done. Anything. Right now, we're ready to get off the Abdul Carter train because they picked him and it's probably going to be wrong. Right? Nothing they do, right? Even now, revisionist history. It sounds like, well, the way people talk, that they gave Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, just said, here, why don't you take him? Or let's trade with, they didn't trade with the Eagles. He signed as a free agent. Like, everything is wrong with Daboll and Shane. If he comes in and struggles against one of the better defenses in the NFL, we're talking about a weekend. Sure, we'll tolerate the losses, and no one's going to say, you know, bench him, but everyone is going to wonder whether or not, like, we're going to be ready to deem this kid a failure 2 weeks in because he's associated with the stench of Shane and Daboll. This kid should not play until he is absolutely ready. I don't know how Shane and Daboll feel about it. I don't know. But let's be honest. You can't say with one breath, wins and losses don't matter, so play the kid. And then tell me, oh, I got to play the kid no matter what about his development. The whole reason you go to him is to develop him. And if the plan was to give him time, which we have seen beneficial to different quarterbacks, you're going to thrust him into this situation? You're going to thrust him into this spot against this team off of 0-3 where there's still somewhat of a hope he could save the season and put that pressure on him and then turn around, play a lousy, to be fair, a lousy Saints team and then throw him right into the gauntlet of 3 days off into Eagles, Denver Eagles and let him start through that? And what happens if he struggles? What happens if he does what normal rookie quarterbacks do? Sure, we'll wait, no, but we'll watch and we'll understand that losses happen. But if he plays particularly bad, this fan base could get toxic around him. We've seen it. God knows I'm toxic about Daniel Jones, right? Like, we've seen it. They'll handle the losing, but no one will believe in him. And we'll take call after call after call about how they got this wrong. They don't know how to develop. They have no idea how to scout players. They have no idea what they're doing. Everybody who leaves goes great. Everyone who comes in sucks. Jackson Dart's just add him to the list of miserable players that these two thought were good. This isn't about winning anymore. I agree. They have no chance of competing for a playoff spot. They're done. The season's over again before October. It's miserable. But I don't want to make the same mistakes we've seen made in the past. And until Andrew Thomas can play a full game, I don't want to put him behind this offensive line against a team like the Chargers. I don't want to put him in a spot to fail. We talk about all the time, coaches, it's about putting your players in a position to be successful. Are they putting Jackson Dart in a position to be successful? And why don't we care? Why don't we care to answer that question? It sounds like it doesn't matter. I don't care. Put him in there. I can't watch this anymore. It's not about us, amazingly enough. It's not about us for this Sunday. It's about us watching a competent football team, and that relies on the hopes and prayers that they have drafted the right quarterback. And giving him a chance to be successful and thrive and not put him into a tough spot where his confidence gets dragged early because he's playing a really good Chargers defense that completely shut down, Geno Smith, gave Patrick Mahomes one hell of a time. And, of course, Bo Nix, second-year quarterback, had a miserable first half. This is a difficult defense with a good defensive backfield. I don't think this is the time. I would stick with Russell Wilson. I would play it out, and I would make the switch when I was comfortable. I would make the switch when I know Jackson Dart is ready. Or at least you get through the gauntlet of the Eagles twice and the Chargers, and you give him some time. If you want to put him in there because they believe inside the room and Brian Daboll truly believes he's ready to go, then okay. I don't think he's there yet. I doubt they feel that strongly about it in that manner just yet. But you can't throw him out there because this is all I have to save my job. You can't throw him out there because, well, now at 0-3, there's no points. So let's just throw him to the Wolves. I don't want to do that. We've seen quarterbacks here be thrown to the Wolves. They get eaten. This is not about next week. And it's not about trying to get back into the season. It's not about anything other than the development of the quarterback. And as much as we think that these two guys running the organization have no clue, and I understand why we think that, they're in the room with them. I still think Daboll understands quarterback play, if anything. And I'm not making decisions based on anything other than what's best for Jackson Dart. And I have a tough time thinking that throwing him into the fire now with a rabid fan base that still believes the season could be saved, probably somewhere deep down inside them if they win this game against San Diego, or LA, rather. I don't want to put, you have to be the savior. I don't want to put anything on him other than let's go out there and start your career and try and be the best quarterback we can be. And I still don't know if Andrew Thomas is going to be on a snap count. You're going up against a very difficult opponent, and then you hit the gauntlet of New Orleans 3 days later after that game, Philadelphia, Denver, and their defense, who's starting to play better, although it hasn't been as great as we thought it could be, but like on paper, one of the best defenses in the NFL, and they were last year. So you're talking about in his first four NFL games, you're going to throw him against the 3-0 Chargers with a great coach, a great quarterback, and one of the best defenses to start the year. The Eagles twice, once on a three-day rest period. And the Denver Broncos, and make them fly out to Denver? That's the first four games you want to give this kid? Not me. Hold off. Let's hold our nose and watch Russell Wilson another few weeks, because it's not about the next few weeks. It's about the next few years. And I want to put this kid in a position to come out and build confidence, not get it throttled by playing four games against three of the tougher defensive teams in the NFL in his first 4 weeks. I don't think the schedule is right for it. I don't think the timing's right for it. And that just because they're 0-3 doesn't change all of that. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So we'll start with Jackson Dart and the New York Giants. We'll take your calls on the Jets as well, and Aaron Glenn, and what's going on there, and whether or not he's going to fix this defense that's been putrid the first couple weeks, whether or not they have a better chance if they stick with Tyrod Taylor. And then, of course, we will get to the Mets today. We will get to the baseball today, because the final six games start right now. What do the Mets have to do to avoid this disaster of epic proportions, get back into the playoff race, get back into the final wild card, and give themselves a chance, believe it or not, which they have, of being dangerous in the postseason. How do they avoid what will be one of the more epic fails we have? I mean, this is, like, let's be honest, we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets and the collection of talent they had and how much it blew up in their face and they won one playoff series. I mean, you are talking about the highest payroll in the sport, adding Juan Soto to a team that went to the NLCS, being firmly in the playoff picture every day of the season since April 5th. To find yourselves losing to the Cincinnati Reds and not being able to make a playoff structure with six teams. I know everybody's saying it, and I wish I had a contrary opinion. It's a disaster. It's a disaster.